The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, Beth Moore describes a time that she struggled with depression.
I don't have to tell y'all I'm talkative, and I'm going to tell you something. I didn't have anything to say. There's nobody that goes down any further than somebody that's usually up. When a person goes down, listen, they just take everybody with them on the way. They just grab and grab. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Learning how sometimes God uses the cast down times to bring us back to ecstatic joy. Next.
Sure you do. Many of you have said, well, I see you. I'm glad you can't see me when I'm watching you on television. Well, I bet you look better than you think you do. I'm James Robinson. I welcome you to Life Today. Betty has asked for some time to just, just be lifted up into the presence of the Lord. She still feels what we all feel as a family, the loss of our youngest daughter right after Christmas. And she just said, since we've been just ministering continually, even since the funeral, could I just have a couple of weeks to just spend time with the Lord? And I said, absolutely. I know you understand. Boy, you are the most wonderful. Beth Moore is teaching on from cast down, and I'm reading it exactly, to ecstatic joy. Boy, oh boy. That peace that passes understanding, God working all things together for good. They're not all good. Sometimes they're awful. But if you love Him, if you love Him, He will work it for good, miraculously. That's what He's doing in our lives. That's what He wants to do in yours. I think you're going to be inspired and encouraged as you listen to Beth. Here's Beth.
Odd thing happened the day I left the last taping. Almost 4 months ago, when I had the privilege to be here and be part of our Wednesday program, I just cannot tell you what a sweet time it had been with the Lord. It had been a very, very sweet season. And that very day, something terrible happened in my family. Something terrible. And I share a lot of things, but because it involves several people, I'm going to leave this one out. And because I want you to relate. Because I bet for some of you, something terrible has happened. Anybody but me? Something terrible. I mean, like if I told you, like I have a friend who's a psychiatrist, and I was telling him, we were in a conversation. I just thought, well, he's just going to think this is the goofiest thing. I told him what had happened. He looked at me and went, that is sad. I thought the psychiatrist was going to cry. Listen, it's sad when you make a psychiatrist cry. I'm going to tell you this. I mean, it just was heartbreaking. And it wasn't just, I mean, it had a personal impact on my life as well and my ministry life as well. And I got to tell you something, and it's exactly where this series is coming from. And I love this about God because nothing is ever wasted, because it's exactly what gave way to the very thing that you and I are studying, because I fell into a month of what I would have no other word to call except depression. And I still did the thing. You know, I had ministry to do. I still got up and had my quiet time every morning. I knew that my God was good. I knew that my God was faithful. But girlfriend, I'm going to tell you something. For most of 2 weeks, I just worked from home, and I'm going to tell you why. I don't have to tell y'all I'm talkative. And I'm going to tell you something. I didn't have anything to say. Anybody? Anybody? Because, listen, there's nobody that goes down any further than somebody that's usually up. That's when a person goes down, listen, they just take everybody with them on the way. They just grab and grab. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just grab and grab. That's exactly what, I mean, I would sit in my quiet time. I still got up in the morning just like normal. I'd sit in my quiet time, and I'd mostly just take down notes because I could not think of anything to say. And it wasn't because I didn't think God was good. God had done His thing. There was no way I could charge God with unfaithfulness in what happened. No way. So I was not upset with God. I just couldn't think of anything to say. And so I'd listen to him, and I'd read my scripture, and I'd write my scriptures down. I didn't even cry for several days. And it's interesting that we're talking about praise and about songs, because I got in my car and drove somewhere by myself. I just spent as much of this time by myself as I possibly could, because I'm such a sanguine person that people can't take it if I'm not. And so I just have to kind of detail. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because they can't take it, and I can't take that they can't take it. You know, I'm going, I just can't always be head cheerleader. Amen. I'm just right now, I just can't do my splits. I don't want to. And so I was listening to a Christy Knuckles song, and it really was a praise song. It wasn't the, like, why so downcast? It was just a praise song. And I'm telling you, the floodgates opened, and I cried so hard I could barely drive. And I mean, I cried and cried and cried and cried. And that then began to open up where I could start talking in my quiet time again, because I just would sit. And I felt loved by him. I'm so sorry if I'm disappointing someone, but I could not think of anything to say. Anybody ever been there? I just couldn't do it. But here's a very interesting thing that happens when we're cast down. And this is where I want to prove to you that it's not always a terrible place to be, because some things can happen there that greatly impact where God takes us. After that, I want to start by building some points with you. Let's get to the first one, and then we'll talk about it for a minute. Number one, I pray that this is going to be some great encouragement to somebody listening, somebody viewing, or somebody sitting right here where I can see you. Number one, the trip from cast down to ecstatic joy can be quicker than we think. I want somebody to say amen to that. Amen. The trip from cast down to ecstatic joy can be quicker than we think. Now, here's what I love, and this is why I'm hoping that you're taking it down on the other side of that screen, because I'm going to ask you to repeat it back to me. We're going to learn these things. I love a classroom. I've never been one, at least for many, many years, ever since my very first Sunday school class, and I got just a little taste of it. I really am not a speaker. I like a classroom where we're in a student kind of relationship where we're learning something together. And so I want you to repeat back to me. Number one was what? The trip from
to ecstatic joy can be quicker than
I'm telling you, that is a beautiful truth if you ask me. Here's what I want to suggest to you, and this is going to seem so much like a paradox. Sometimes God can use cast down, since y'all are my cast down side here, that's going to be ecstatic joy over here. Sometimes God can use cast down to get us back up. It's an odd thing. That we can just be going along and nothing's really wrong and nothing's really great. We're just kind of going along. Our faith is mediocre. We're not really seeing much of an impact of our witness. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's just kind of like, it's just going along. It's just the routine, just doing the thing. It's an odd thing that something can happen that can knock us down, that can be the very thing God uses to get us back up. Because somehow in the in-between, why is it that there we're not begging for revival? Because we just get into that thing, get into that rut, and we just stay there. But down here, I know I got to have me some Jesus. Can somebody amen that? Amen. Right here, I got to have me some Jesus. And here's a beautiful thing that happens when we're cast down. It's one of the most important parts of learning Psalm 42 and 43 is this. When we are cast down, we start asking questions we would never ask at ecstatic joy. Ecstatic joy is our statement place. It's where we make some statements. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Declarations. But over there in cast down, suddenly it's where, how, who, and it is certainly, anybody know what I'm about to say? Why? 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 I want you to know we've got a God who is never resistant to our questions. Never, 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 never. The Gospel of John opens with Jesus' first words being, what is it you seek? What is it you want? Jesus was constantly asking questions to his disciples that he knew the answers to. He wanted to bring them into dialogue. Questions are good. Questions are good. Here's what happens when we're cast down. We start asking questions. And here's what we want to do, because you're going, well, Beth, I ask a lot of questions when I'm down that don't get answered. That's okay. Ask a new one. Ask a new one. Because in a place of the question mark, when you're in that place of questioning, there is a question God really wants you to ask him that he is full on ready to answer for you, and he is trying to get you to it. So, come on. So let me tell you, if we don't start asking something, okay, so I'm not getting a lot of why. So I keep asking. I mean, sometimes we get a why. So, I'm not getting, I might ask what? I might ask what? Or I'll just keep asking until he goes, you know what? That is exactly what I was hoping you would ask me. Because when you're cast down, there's something he wants you to ask him that he is wanting so much to give to you that he brought you there to ask him. And so somebody right there is going, tell me what it is. I can't. You can't do it for me either. That's why it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I can't do that for you. I can only go to my own place and just keep asking until I get to something that he's going, yeah, I want to do that right there. I want to do that right there for such a time is this. For Jimmy Buffett, the question was, where is my salt shaker? You know? But it's got to get better than that, girls. It's got to get better than that, guys. I love, when I was doing the research on Psalms 42 and 43, I learned that they are recited, I'm sure that in very Orthodox Jewish circles, they still are, but were for the centuries, that on the second day of the Feast of Tabernacles, these were recited. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles was the biggest up of the year. I mean, that was a joyful time of celebration for the people of Israel. Don't you find it interesting that before they get full on in the week, they have to go through the whole thing of, why are you downcast, oh my soul? Because, see, unless they address their downcastness, how can they possibly go to the place of ecstatic joy? Otherwise, we're faking it. Why don't we ask ourselves early on, what is wrong with me? Okay, and so I can try to figure this out, and because I want to get me to some ecstatic joy, and I need to know, Lord, what is up with this? Listen, verse 4 of Psalm 42 says something wonderful. It says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession in the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Listen. When was the last time you just had that kind of season with God where, I tell you, everywhere you looked, it seemed like he appeared? And just for somebody new to Christ, I'm not talking about a real live vision of him. I'm just talking about where he reveals himself continually, where you're just alive in him, where you can read the word and it will just jump off the page. When was your last season? And so what I want to ask you is, would you just like rewind just prior to it? Because here's what we do. We just go like, I was in that great season. And then we have to go, what got me there? I ask you, was it good? Because most of the time it wasn't. When we look back, the season was. But I'm saying, what was right before it that hurled you in to a season of personal revival? Listen, for me, without exception, I was down. For whatever reason, whether it was in sin and, oh man, I have been in heaps and pits of sin, or whether it was just destruction, whether it was addiction, whatever it may have been, but it would always be that place that precipitated that revival. Number two is this. Number one, I'm going to remind you, so in case someone's just tuning in, we've already said out of Psalms 42 and 43, the trip from cast down to ecstatic joy can be what? Would y'all tell me? Quicker than we think. Number two, we start getting up by asking why we're down. We start getting up by asking why we're down, just like the psalmist did. What in the world is wrong with me? Let me tell you this. It may be without recognition. Like, we may not recognize it, but it's never without reason. There is something for every one of us, if you can say, listen, I'm really, ooh, Beth, this is me right now, okay? All right, there's a reason. And so we want to try to find it. We want to try to pinpoint it, just like the psalmist did, because there's something at the root of it and something we're wanting to get at. Here's the thing. We're trying so hard to fathom the infinite mind and wisdom and brilliance of God, and half the time we can't even figure out why we feel the way we do. We can't even figure out why we like somebody and don't like somebody else. Amen? Why this brings this out in us, that brings that out in us. We have no idea. The NET Bible just puts it this way. Why are you depressed, oh my soul? Why are you depressed? Now, let me say something to you. Somebody watching today may be in a real live clinical depression that no matter what you've tried, no matter how you have done what people have told you to do, like get some exercise, get out in the sunshine, put on your praise music, that everything you've tried and you still are in that place. Certainly, if you ever have destructive thoughts about yourself, suicidal thoughts, you need to march yourself as quickly as you can to a medical doctor and to some good, godly counseling.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Boy, oh boy, Beth, that's just great advice. I don't know where you are. You know, people, you look at somebody like me sometimes, or maybe Beth, and you think, well, y'all don't ever have those low moments. I actually reached a point of such despair at the height of what we call the greatest possible success a minister could ever wish for. I just left a stadium full of people. And actually, not only wanted to die, I tried to take my life. Somebody saved my life. You know, it's tragic. And sometimes there's a clinical depression. Sometimes there's an emotional or even an imbalance, a chemical imbalance. But when you feel that way, look, reach up to God, but reach out and touch someone. Father, I pray for people who feel so cast down, but they want to know the joy and the peace that only you can give. God, grant them that wish and that desire. Give them that healing. If you want to pray with someone, that phone number there, paid for by love, it's an 800 number. A caring person is waiting that you can share with. You don't have to give them details. Just tell them you're hurting. They'll pray with you. Because we care. That's why we're here every day. We care about you. Now, if you watch Life Today, you know we're about life. We're about life not only today, but every day, all over the world. I want you to listen very closely to a mother. There's not a single person that can identify with what she's expressing, that concern. She's actually just buried her little 7-month-old son. Listen to what she's saying, and then know this. You can stop the cycle. The loss, the death, I promise you. You are the hope. You are the factor that brings hope and healing. Watch very closely.
When we first sat down to hear her story, we were afraid we wouldn't be able to. Anna spoke in almost a whisper, but she wasn't sick. After burying her 7-month-old son that morning, her voice had given out, in grief screamed. That's what happens at the loss of a child. Pain erupts from so deep within that it leaves you doubled over, almost lifeless. We were spared that sight, but when Anna later found her voice and her calm, she was able to share a bit of the story.
Porque uma criança em casa é uma coisa que faz muita falta na vida. Diz que meu filho já foi funerado, assim não tenho força no corpo. Sei todo dia a chorar, está chegando lá para falar, meu filho chora muito. Sim, para mim, porque para cansar essa aqui, os 4 anos, pegar de 5, parece que eu alcancei essa. E também aquele que faleceu, também fiz 3 anos. Pegar também de 4, também quando a canção minha pele que faleceu.
malnutrition. It's no incurable disease, but when you're staring it in the face, empty-handed, it might as well be. No one, much less an innocent like Anna's 7-month-old boy, should fall victim. While it's too late for him, we are determined that this mother will never experience it again.
You know, I'm listening there to the voice of Kyle Rogers, who, you know, really came to the Lord through our ministry. His mother, Jeannie, who was our soprano soloist for so many years in our crusades, accepted Christ when I was preaching as a young man, and she was a teenager. And I'm listening to Kyle, who is an awesome father and husband, the father of 5 children. And there he is on the mission field, and that woman has just buried her little 7-month-old, and she's got another little boy, talking about others she knows. What Kyle has been looking at, the missionaries have taken our mission team with the cameras and all of the recording equipment to show you the real picture of need and suffering, because it is real. And they've just left areas where the drought that's prevailing in Angola is taking the lives of thousands of little children. It's unbelievable. And we've set up feeding centers to get relief to them, to literally save their lives and stabilize them so that they not only live, but they can have a future. And the missionaries are in place, ready to save those precious children's lives and their families. But the only way that they can feed them and care for them is for us to enable them to do it. Now, this drought in Angola is so serious that with the 400,000 that we've had in feeding centers now for several weeks and months, in order to maintain for the next months, we've got to raise the funds now. But we must add, I mean, it's critical, 25,000 more children right there in Angola because of the drought. Now, we knew that the missionaries were crying out on behalf of the children, just like that mother, because they have the burden, the compassion. And we said, God, we need a miracle. And we've had a miracle response. Someone has given us a $500,000, $500,000 challenge gift. They'll match everything you give today. If you could give $100, which we can feed 10 children with for the next months, we'll be able to feed 20. It'll double. If you could possibly make a $1,000 gift, and I pray you can, and I pray you will, I'm asking God to not only enable you to do it, but inspire you to do it. It'll be doubled. And rather than just reaching 100 that need the food, we'll be able to take care of 200 for the next months. Your gifts of $30, $50, or $100 enable us to feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for several months. Their lives depend on it. But we need to add 25,000 more. So we really need a miracle of love and support. You know, as you heard a mother, you know what Betty said before she said goodbye to me to come up here and tape the program? She said, I hope that my not being there would not cause someone perhaps not to watch or hear. And James, I pray that there'd not be anybody that for any reason wouldn't help, because Betty so longs to help the mothers and the children. Well, I pray so too, because I know Betty's heart's here, even though her heart's being healed from the loss of our own daughter. Listen to me. Those precious children, their very lives depend upon the love of God in us. Would you dial the number right now, take your bank card, use it like a check, make the largest gift you can, a love gift. You write a check, make it to Life, because that's precisely what you're giving. Lifetoday.org, if you want to go online. And right now, almost half the gifts that come in are coming in by people going online. Well, we need you to do what God's put on your heart. Father, I pray every person who can will respond gladly. In Jesus' name. Thank you so much for your response. We've got some very special gifts for you to bless you in your spiritual life. We want to be a blessing to you, and always say thank you. Thank you for making that call. Thank you for making that special gift. It will be doubled if you'll call today.
At this very moment, children are drawing what could be their last breath, struggling to stay alive due to severe hunger. You can help stop the cycle of death. You can help save a child's life.
In addition to the 400,000 children already in our feeding program throughout Africa, we must immediately provide for an additional 25,000 children in the hardest hit areas of drought. As an answer to prayer, a group of Life's Friends have set a $500,000 matching challenge for mission feeding. This means your gift today can have a double impact. $30 to help feed three children can be double to impact six children. $50 to help feed five children can be double to help save 10 children. And $100 for 10 children can be double to help feed and introduce Jesus to 20 children. As a thank you, we would like to send you A Good Word for a Great Day, a 365-day devotional providing a word of inspiration and promise for each new day. With your double impact gift of $100 to help save the lives of 20 children, you may request the Family Reading Bible to help engage your children and grandchildren in God's Word. Finally, please consider a double impact gift of $1,000 to help save the lives of 200 children. And you may also request the 50th anniversary commemorative bronze, Brotherly Love. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I want to remind you, this is really important. When you've got thousands of children that face death, and we've had a miracle, $500,000, $500,000. Boy, what a gift from God. As a matching gift challenge, that whatever you give right now will be doubled. I want to encourage you to give $1,000 if you can, to be doubled. We're sending the commemorative Brotherly Love bronze. And I'm going to tell you, these older children immediately help the younger ones. But we have to enable them to do something. Help us with the most wonderful, compassionate expression of love possible by making the best gift you can. Thank you so much for doing it. Thanks for watching Life Today. Tell everybody about Wednesdays with Beth and encourage them to watch the program so they not only get a blessing, but they can become a blessing.
The foundational unit of society upon which you can build a just civilization is the family.
Rick Santorum, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.